Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for every opportunity, every occasion that we have to be in your presence. It's not something that left to ourselves we might choose. But you, God, you have set us in such a place, and you have brought us, you have organized us to this situation. Thank you, O God, for arranging our lives. Thank you for setting us to do well. And above all, thank you for this church family. Let it today be another day that is a step towards what you want us to become. Bless us all in Jesus' name. And all the saints said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to say also that I'm glad to be here. I'm very happy. When I was talking to our father, the prophets, some time ago, and then he said I should move out from the cathedral I had built and go and start another new one. And you know, at that time we're discussing retirement, that one is at age 60 and thereabouts. People retire from their services, from their work, and just come and relax. And he said, forget it, but rather start something new again. So move from where you are and go and take up a new assignment. And that is why I find myself here. We are building a new cathedral. Amen. And let me tell you something. I have built churches before. Over the years, I began 95 and I'm still building. It's 30 years now. But this one that I'm building is different. No. Why are you clapping? You don't know why it's different. Why are you clapping? This one is different because this church, I want it to be a happy church. Yeah, a church. No. Wait. You are clapping too early. They can't hear what I'm saying. A church where you are. You see, some people, when church closed, they are happy to go home. No. In my new church, when church closed, your mother will call you. Where are you? I'm still in church. Why? What are you doing here? Is there a meeting? No. No meeting. Then what are you doing here? I'm hanging around because we are just here doing nothing but around. I envisage a church where nobody does nothing. Warn your neighbor. In that case, you may have to leave the church. Warn your neighbor. If that is the new law in the new church, you who are doing nothing, you may have to go to find Disco Christo or other churches to join. Because I want a church where everybody is doing something. Not because we need to, but because it's nice. It's nice and happy to work together to build something that we are all a part of. If we are going to only, okay, well, there are always some people who like eating things free. But when we come together to contribute to do something, it's nicer. True or not true? Yeah, some like free wachi. But when we come together to buy the wachi and we all contribute, it's nicer. And then we enjoy it even more. And that is my plan, that we come together to contribute to build a beautiful, beautiful church where everybody can say, this is my small portion, my small part in this. And if I were not here, this wouldn't be there. Is it a good idea? It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. And thank you all for being here. Recently, I traveled somewhere with my children, and we were together in a certain place in South Africa. And I was happy they could come by themselves. They bought their own tickets to come. I didn't buy their tickets for them.
bought their own ticket to come. They were with me for 2 weeks and we were there. And I realized that, are you listening?
Yeah.
One of the greatest joys of parents is that your children do well. It is an amazing, beautiful feeling that I have children, sons, who are doing well. And I've always not been happy that my own children are doing well, then my spiritual children are not doing as well. It always makes me feel a kind of cheating, if you understand. Like, you're in a house, you have children, you have daughters in the house who are there, then you have a house help in the house, and there's a clear difference. One is wearing chaliwati, the other is wearing high heel shoes. One has hair sakura, the other has very long braids. Tell somebody, it's not fair. If they have some house helps in their house who are young ladies, there should be confusion, which is yours and which is not yours. Yeah, there should be a confusion. We don't know. I mean, when I see children together, we can't tell which is yours, which is not yours. That's a very good family. So I feel a bit unhappy that not all are doing well. So most of my intentions is that we will all do well. And I was so happy when Prophet said that this year, a year of greater and better. And he told their first lovers, this year, I will make you prosperous. I said, me too. This year, I will make you prosperous. Amen. Oh, you didn't shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
And that was my feeling, that this year, all of us will do well. At least those who follow, or those who want to. All of us will go forward in life. There will be many weddings in this house. Oh yes, many weddings, house dedications, buying cars. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. I don't know who's next, but somebody is next. I don't know who's going to buy the first car, who's going to be the one to drive a car. As for car, I always say, we don't buy, we get. Yeah, because we can't buy a car. Once we can get, anybody can get. It's the buying that's the problem. When we say buy, pay, some of you are cut out. When we say get, then you are back inside again. May you get a car. May it be a nice car. Your first car will be a small car or an old car. My first car was an 18-year-old Audi. That was my first car, 18 years old. Yes. Then my second car was 16 years old. And my third car was 13 years old. You can see the pattern. You can see where it's heading. Your new car will come down the road. Amen. So my prayer has always been that we all do well. That's my prayer. Everybody. You don't have to go to school, but it's good to go to school. It's very good to go to school. But you don't have to go to school to do well. And I'm going to show you why in a few minutes. Amen. Because this morning we are starting a series about why things are not improving for you. We've said greater and better, but there are many people, when you look at how things are today and how things are last year, it's the same. You have not progressed and gone forward in life. Things are almost the same as they were. Same accommodation, same job, same lifestyle, same salary, still same no savings, still the same debt. The debt has not gone down, it's gone up. There's not much change. I object. I disagree to a life where there is no change. Because Bible says, in him we live and move. Movement means change. And that is why I'm sharing this morning about some of the reasons, not all, some of the reasons why people sometimes are stuck in a place and don't see any movement forward and don't see breakthroughs. And why sometimes people do not do well in life. Number one, you are not spiritual. Number one reason why people don't do well in life, are you listening? Is that you are not spiritual. Amen. Because in this world is the physical and the spiritual. Bibles, you see, God who made this world is spiritual, and he made it for with two sides. Now, the natural man in this world is very wicked. How many have heard a certain saying, fear woman and live long? You have heard it before? It's not true. I don't know. I heard it. I'm just asking who has heard it. I didn't say it's true or it's not true. Yeah. How many have heard Odinpa you're bad? Look. Now and the girls who have heard it. Look, people are bad. You have no idea how bad this world is until you begin to listen to the details of crimes and other things, wars and those things. And the men who are fighting the wars are the same men who are walking around in power and politics. Amen. It means, are you listening? It means that most of the people who are in power in many places are the same people in power in other places. That is why if you leave yourself at the mercy of a man of power in this world, you are in trouble, because your welfare is not his concern. Amen. Yesterday I was watching a short clip, and a certain man had arrested an Indian, and he was carrying him away, and as he was carrying away, he was sitting on a horse. Then he got down and told the man, hold my horse for me. Okay. And then he told the Indian, by the way, I care for the horse more than for you. Do you understand? The horse is more important to me than you. If somebody has to die, you will die, not the horse. Tell somebody, how can a horse be more important than a human being? But that's the world we live in. Amen. That's the world we live in. That is why, number one reason why many of us don't do well is that you are not spiritual. You are not spiritual. Amen. I said, you are asking about, by the way, are you spiritual? I'm just cross-checking what the man is saying. I'm checking. Ask him, are you spiritual? Yeah. What did he say? He said, yes. Pray about it. God is spirit. Why is not being spiritual important? Because John 4:24, God is spirit. Okay? God is spirit. And if you listen to 1 Corinthians 14, it says that God also talks to us. In what manner? In a spirit language. In a spirit language. So, if you are not spiritual, what God is saying to you, you will not hear. Amen. You will not hear and you will not understand. You will not, it will not make sense to you. I think it's Colossians 1:13. It says, and he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness. Is it, am I correct? Yes. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Look, when you are not spiritual, you are in darkness. You are in darkness. That is why the powers of the occult, they are called dark powers. They are called dark powers. All the powers that are not of God, they are dark powers. And they are powers that cause darkness. So if you are not, are you listening? If you are not spiritual, you are trapped in this world and you are under the authority of this world, you will not likely do well. Amen. It is just like a house girl in the house, the wicked madam. Will she do well? Will she go to school? No. She is the one who will be sitting outside at the gates when the children are inside watching television. He's the one who will be left with leftovers, nothing in the house, when the other people are eating the proper food. So being under the care of a wicked person is not nice. Let me ask you a question. How many have had a wicked landlord before? A wicked landlord. Can I see your hand? A landlord who is coming to your house, and then anything you do, any noise you make, hey, you are disturbing. Meanwhile, he's coming to ask for salt. And he's coming to ask for matches. And then he's coming to knock on the door. And when you are passing the house, look, my pastor had a wicked landlord. He said, when you are walking through the compound, the eyes, they will do you. Do you do eyes or make eyes? What do you do to eyes? You do eyes or make eyes? Making eyes or doing eyes? I don't know. Choose the one you like. But they will make, look, the way they look at him as his person. He said he was never happy. Then one day he was in his room, also looking outside in the window. Then he saw the landlord go to his water barrel and put something inside. Do you know what he did? He moved from the house. I said, you are wise. I will kill you in the house. But they were always looking at him in a funny way. Amen. That is how it is if you are not spiritual. Because now, ask him, if God is not your father, who is your father? Tap your neighbor and ask him. Amen. Yeah, your father is who? You are of this world. So your father is the men and the powers of this world. That is why many people, even though they are Christians and are not spiritual, they will not do well. And so, number one, to really do well in this world, you must become spiritual. I didn't hear amen. I have plans to go into this one, but for tonight I'll mention it just for today, because if I start, I won't finish. About being spiritual, we'll go into it. Hallelujah. So number one, tell your neighbor you must be spiritual. Number two is what? You must be anointed. You must be anointed. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your neighbor's head and pray, and let's see what will happen. Put your hand on your neighbor's head. You're not minding me. Put your hand on your neighbor's head and pray. Pray any prayer. We'll see what will happen. Do you know what will happen? Nothing will happen. Do you know why? Look, because you're not anointed. You're not anointed. When you come into the presence of anointing, you feel something. Check your neighbor. Ask him, did you feel anything when I sat down? Please ask your neighbor, did you feel anything when I sat down? And the answer is no, because you are not anointed. Amen. You are not anointed. If the choir, look, good singing and anointed singing is not the same thing. They are not the same thing. Good choir, I'm not sure, but we are coming there. I went to a service where a choir came to sing. When they started singing, they had about 15-20 minutes, the whole room began to go upside down. People were falling down, rolling, shouting, screaming, everything. Do you know why? Because anointing came down. There is something called the anointing. Many of us don't think about it. Many of us are not mindful. Are you listening to me? Accept. There is something called anointing. Don't think that, it's by might. We are trying hard. We are doing our best. No. You are making a mistake. There is something called the anointing that helps everything in any area of life. Whatever, you know, when you are not sure who God is, think of a good father. Okay, when you are not sure how to relate with God, think of a good father. Any good father is concerned about every area of your life, from your health, your academics, your marriage, your everything. So every area of your life matters. Now, many of us, we think that anointing, if there's anointing, is for preaching. No. It's for every... One day, one of my friends, I don't know where she is now, she's somewhere in the world, she was very, very spiritual, very, very into God. And one day, she was going to write her final exams in law. And as she was preparing for the exam, then God told her, not God, but read something. I mean, something, a thought occurred to her. Read this area of your book. Very big books. But you know what she did? She didn't do it. She didn't read it. Then she went into the exam room. And as she sat in the exam, do you know what she saw? It was there. What she was told to me, she didn't read. It was there, right there. And she began to pray. May you not pray a desperate prayer in your exam room, but rather thank God for what he has done for you. She began to pray in the exam room. Look, are you listening to me? If you are a student, you need anointing. You need the power of God to help you. She said, you see, some people, for all their bad ways, they know God. So she quickly put her head down in the exam room and repented and told God, God, I am sorry. I am sorry because you told me to read and I didn't read it. She said, Lord, forgive me. A very sincere repentance, because some of you just bluff and walk through. She said, no, she really repented. She spent about 5 minutes in the exam just telling God, I am sorry. You told me I didn't read. It's my fault. God, please forgive me. She said, as she was praying to God to forgive her, her eyes were closed. Suddenly, she saw her book. She saw her book. When she opened her eyes, the book was gone. When she closed her eyes, she saw the book again. And do you know something? It was open to the page of the question. It was open to the page. She said, hey, what am I seeing? So when she opens her eyes, it's gone. Then she closed her eyes, then she can see her book. She took her pen and began to read and copy. Yeah. And she passed the exam. She's a lawyer somewhere now. I want you to understand there is something called the anointing. You see, many of you think that only mean the anointing. No, there is something that can change your life called the anointing that will make things work for you. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 1. If you remember, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel met Saul and anointed him with oil. Do you remember that story? Yeah, Samuel met Saul, anointed him with oil. But then Saul went on and did many other strange things. He went to witches, chased David, did so many other things. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 21. This is when Saul was killed in battle. He was killed in battle by the Philistines or the Amalekites. I forgot which one. And it says, ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely thrown away. The shield of Saul, and look at this one, as though he had not been anointed with oil. I mean, what? Listen to me, yo. What Saul was going through should not have been the case. What was happening to him as a man that was anointed by God should not have happened. He should have had if you are a proper Christian and you are a proper anointed Christian, you should not suffer as you are suffering. You should not. Amen. You should not. You should see miracles in your life. You should have breakthroughs in your life. You should receive miracle money. How many have had miracle money before? Miracle money. One day I found some money came into my account. How? I don't know where it came from. Up to today, it just came. Amen. But many of us have nothing. Have nothing. And do you know why? You are not anointed. You must accept that you are not anointed. That is the beginning of getting the anointing. You must accept. Don't think that it is just, oh, let's use force and might and struggle. No. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, not by might, not by power. No. Learning. How many have learned for an exam and failed before? It anointing is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, and you went what? Around doing good. That anointing made it possible for him to do good, going around. That anointing is what makes it possible to overcome so many difficulties. Amen. I want us, you know, sometimes we think that only a few will be anointed and the rest of us will be left beside.
No.
Amen. You must pray. Amen. You must pray. Pray. Hallelujah. Pray often over everything. It is one of the greatest signs. How many really want to do well in this life? You want to do well. Look, you cannot do well if you don't pray. You cannot see breakthroughs. You have so many unnecessary troubles if you don't pray. If you are trying to manage yourself, trying to manage yourself. Recently, somebody told me something about power and natural things and spiritual things. He said spiritual things add power to natural things. And he said, do you know something? Many people who are natural, they have gone for powers. They have gone for powers. Even children. Even some children have gone to fetishes and things. Yeah. And the whole aim is to improve and move forward from where they are. But we don't have that liberty. I mean, ask him, I hope you haven't gone to a fetish. Ask him, but I hope you have not gone anywhere. Ask him, have you gone anywhere? No, let's take a break. Please, hold on, never shut like this. I hold it and ask him, please. The question just came, I'm worried. Have you gone anywhere? Have you tried anything? What is he say? You say yes. Yeah, no. But we need power. We need power. And the power of this world will destroy. So what can make you break through is the power of God. That's the anointing. So may the anointing come upon us. And it comes in a way. Hallelujah. But you must agree. You must start from the point where you will say, I'm not anointed. That is why I don't have breakthrough. Then we start looking for anointing. Then we start praying for God to anoint us. That's when we start receiving the help from God. And as for God, He is willing to help us. Hallelujah. He is willing to help us. But where we are now, there's no anointing on us. Amen. There's no anointing. That's why we are not seeing much progress. But may you be anointed. May it come. I said, may it come into our lives. When Jesus told the disciples to go out into all the world, Matthew 28, then he told them, wait, Acts 1:4. He told them, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, because it is that power that is going to help you to do the work that you're going to do. That same power is what will help you to overcome every obstacle. Amen. Amen. One day, I was looking for a job. I needed a job. I was looking for a job. Then my friend said, come, he will take me to a place where I can get a job. And he said, when you get there, they will ask you, do you have experience? And he told me, say yes. I said, but I don't have experience. He said, no, you have to lie. Are you listening to me? He said, you have to lie. If you don't lie, you can get that job. I said, no. I need a job, but I can't lie. He said, no, you have to lie to get the job. Because if you go and say you don't have experience, 100% they won't take you. So I went with him for the interview. We got there. The man came. We were asking me questions. My friend too was, because he brought me, he was sitting by me. They were asking me education, your qualifications. They were asking all those questions. And I was answering, we were chatting. Then the man asked me, by the way, do you have experience? Then my friend stepped on my leg. Hey,
he stepped on my leg. He said, and I said, I was going to say yes, but it's not yes, it's no. So I was struggling. Then I said no. Hey, my friend beat me again. Stamp on my foot again. Then I could see, look at me, run away. He said no. And the man, the nice interview. We had a nice interview. No, he just folded his hand and sat back. My friend said, see. Just sat back. And I was also there. There was silence in the house. My friend said, see what you have done. And the man said, you know, don't have the experience, but I'll still give it to you. But I'll still give it to you. Tell your neighbor, if you are anointed, if you are anointed, you won't lie. Tell me you lie. Tell me you lie too much. Please tap your neighbor. You lie too much. Liars like you shouldn't be in church, but you are in church. You are welcome to church. We are fixing you. We are repairing you in this house. May your lies end and stop in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear loud amen.
Amen.
Oh, you have stopped lying. You are lying again. You see, you are lying again. No. But you see, we are not anointed. If you are anointed, some of those things wouldn't worry you. That's why when you go to a place and a man says, come and sleep with me, if I give you a job, you are thinking about it. Tell the person, the answer is no. Or to pass an exam, whichever is applicable in your situation, the answer is no. Because after sleeping with you, he won't give you the job. He will chop you free. You just be used like that. Tell somebody no. The answer is no. Yeah. But it is only an anointing that will give you the inner strength. Are you listening to me? The inner strength to, because I tell you, I was tempted to say yes. I must confess, because I wanted the job. I needed the money. And I've come close to the job level. I was really like, let me just say yes, God will forgive me. Or is that not how you think? Just say yes, or do only one pair, God will forgive you. But I said, no, I can't. I can't sin and then ask God. No, I said no. May you be anointed. Amen. May you look for the anointing. You are not spiritual. That's why you're not doing well. Number two is, you're not anointed. Number three, you are lazy. You are lazy. Even the way you are sitting down tells me you are lazy. Look at your neighbor. The way I sat down and I was falling down in the seat and your eye is trying to close. You are lazy. Amen. You are lazy. Laziness. No. You think that we are only preaching. No, this is life. Laziness. Look at me. Laziness is one of the main reasons why many people don't do well in life. Laziness will equate to low grades, low performance at work, low happiness in the house, a dirty heart. Laziness will mean a low level of everything in your life. Amen. Laziness. Laziness means you can do it, but you didn't do it. How many have ever set an alarm clock and the alarm clock went cree, but you didn't get up? Can I see your guilty hands? Can I see your hand? You press the alarm. Put your hand down. Some you didn't hear. It happened to me yesterday. I set the alarm. It went off. I didn't hear it. So that's different. But you heard it. You heard it. Then you woke up and put that clock off. Then you slept again. Can I see your guilty hands? That's the beginning of laziness. It is a manifestation of laziness. Because why did you set the alarm clock? There is something I have to do. There is something I should do. I have to learn, read, get up, go somewhere. But when the time came,
you said no.
What did you say?
What did you say?
You said no. A little more sleep.
Yeah. And then you lay down. And then you see that day.
Do you remember that day? When you slept, how long did you sleep?
You slept long. You slept and you really slept.
Amen. Let me tell you something about laziness. Two things about laziness. Okay? Or even three things about laziness. Number one, laziness is a choice. It's a choice. You chose not to work. Laziness is not something that came on you. You chose it. You chose not to work. Number two, Matthew 25 and maybe 26. Laziness is equal to wickedness. Laziness is equal to wickedness. Do you know why? Because you could help, but you didn't. You could help.
Listen. If you see a child, you see a child who is walking on the road and you see a car coming. You see a child walking on the road, you see a car coming, and you say nothing. What are you? No, what are you? Did you kill the child? Did you push the child on the road? Did you drive the car? Did you accelerate? What did you do? Nothing. No, look at me. I want you to understand laziness. You did nothing. You did nothing. That nothing. Look, no. Pay attention well, because you think laziness is a little sleep. No. That nothing you did kill the child is wickedness. Is wickedness. When I come to teachers and nurses and doctors who are lazy and the patients die, what is it? Wickedness. When a teacher can teach, not teach, and they don't teach and the children are failing, what is it? Wickedness. Yeah. So you think that it's only sleep? No. It's more than that. Hallelujah. Check your neighbor. Look, let me. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And what's the instruction? Verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little what? Folding of the arms to sleep. And what will happen? 34. A what? Hey, so shall what? No. So shall what? Not poverty. Not poverty. Your poverty. Not my poverty. Tell me about your poverty. Little sleep, a little slumber. Do you know how it works? You miss opportunities. You miss. That's what happens. You miss opportunities. Let me show you. Let me show you something that is important. If a madam is going to look for employees for her company, and there are two nice girls, two nice girls. Are you looking? And I want a worker for my company who I'll pay her. How much will pay her? $5,000. $5,000. I'll pay her $5,000. Do you like the $5,000? Do you like? Who likes more? You or you? You. They both like. When you come to employ them and then they are sitting down there, yawn. Yawn. Oh, yawn. And you're watching them. Which one will you employ? Straight away.
because of a yawn, because of, you know, you think I'm not serious? You have gone for an interview. You are sitting at a panel with professors and lecturers are looking at you.
Oh,
will you pass? Why? You don't know things because of your laziness. Because of your laziness. A little, verse 33. Tell somebody, a little sleep. A little slumber. Say it again. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of your arms to rest. So shall thy poverty come upon thee. As you see, one that traveleth is old King James English. Like an armed robber. An armed robber is coming with force. I'm not knocking on the door, I'm breaking the door to come in. Come into your life. Poverty. What did you do? You didn't learn? No, you were lazy. You were lazy. And you have got a job, you have gone to your office, you are sitting down there, then you are just dozing, you open the Bible in your office, then you put your head down, you are praying. Just out of foolish. You are praying, you put your head down in the office on the Bible. What are you doing? I'm praying. That's not what you're a lazy, foolish boy. You are, no, I'm very serious. A lazy, foolish boy or foolish girl, whichever one it is. It is. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot be lazy. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, don't sleep at the wrong place. No. You didn't understand what I said. Don't sleep at the wrong place. You see, all night if you sleep, it's not a quarrel, because your body is programmed to sleep at that time. So that one is determination and force we are using to stay awake. But sleeping in class is a sign of somebody not serious. Is a what? Is a sign of somebody not serious. And if I were the lecturer and you are sleeping in my class, I will mark you. And anywhere where I'll not mark you down deliberately, but I'll not help you because you think you know, so prove you know. I'll not help you. Any place where you deserve 3, you get 3, not 3.5. You get exactly what you, where I'm not sure, I won't give it to you because you didn't deserve it. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Laziness. Tell somebody, don't sleep. No. I mean, how can you sleep in a taxi? No. Ice cream, how? You are sleeping in a taxi. Please ask your neighbor, why are you sleeping in a taxi? From here to here, where is the taxi? How long is the taxi journey? How tired are you? How tired are you? At the back? No. Please say no. Oh, please say no. No more sleeping in the wrong place. No, you see, because many who are hurt in an accident, they were not alert. That's all. They were not alert. You were hit. I mean, if you see a car coming, you can brace yourself and protect yourself and not die. It is the way the body is suddenly thrown that your bones break, or you're suddenly thrown aside and there's no power to resist or to even strengthen yourself a little bit. So you're not thrown forward through the window, through the glass or something. You would need not die in an accident. I didn't hear an amen. You need not be taken by those one of my friends in town, the taxi had an accident in town. He broke so many bones in town, not in the highway, in town. I mean, a major road just in town. Because you are just sitting down fire, just like that. No bones in you. Just as lazy, weak. Tell, please feel your neighbor. Are your hands firm? Are your hands firm? Are you strong? Are you strong? Or you are just look like that? Please check your neighbor for me. Yes, you are just there. Your hands are anyhow, but it's ending today. But it's ending today. Put your hands together like that. Why are not doing well? Number four, I'm giving you just five. Number four reason why many people don't do well is that they have no helper. Let me give you a life principle. Okay? A life principle. That means a principle that is applicable for life. It is found in Genesis chapter 2. It is not good for man to be alone. It is that statement was not made because of a trouble. Nothing had happened when God spoke those words. Satan had not come. No, you think those words were to correct something? No. Satan had not arrived yet. It was God alone and men alone. There was no enemy. Are you listening? And then God made that principle established forever. It is not good for a man to be alone. Amen. Look, 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and the priest was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with you? You know, sometimes, like, you see, I've said this thing. Are you here? I've said this thing many times. Please do not read the King James alone. It is too difficult to understand by itself. And there are many occasions where the word don't mean exactly what it means to us today. So here it says that he was afraid, and you are wondering, why are you afraid that I'm alone? What is it? The word afraid does not exactly represent what it's supposed to say. In this case, the Message Bible says it very, very well. The Message Bible. So, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. He went on his way. Jonathan returned to town, and David went to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And look at that. The priest was alarmed. The priest was alarmed. He was disturbed. Amen. I didn't hear an amen. Alarm means that I am worried at what you are doing to you. I'm not afraid of what you're coming to do to me. That's how it appears. As if I see somebody coming in the night, I'm afraid. As if he's coming to harm me. No. I'm not afraid for me. I'm afraid for you. I'm alarmed at you are alone. I am disturbed that you are alone. One of the greatest contributors, are you listening, to students who don't do well, they study alone. Look, if you are a student, listen to me, and you are alone, you sit down alone with your book, you have no study partner, no group you belong to, nothing, you are alone. Do you know what you are? You are a foolish student. I'm not lying. It's church. I've stopped lying in church. You are a student heading for mediocre grades. You are going to get C and D. Once in a while, you get a B by mistake. But you're going to be a C student and a D student and that kind of student because you are learning by yourself alone. How? Do you know everything? No. What we do is in a study group, you here, learn here, I learn there. Then we come, then we share the knowledge.
You can learn faster when somebody explains to you. Then you add your own explanation. It's not good to be alone. Amen. And many times, look, your greatest help, your greatest move forward in life will be somebody helped you. Your greatest breakthrough will be somebody helped you. Somebody put in a word. Somebody was there for you. Somebody, look, to get married, if you don't have a good friend, you don't marry easily. Because somebody must either stop you or start you. Somebody must say, have you seen that baby? She fine pa. Somebody must bring your eye, because you are there, but you have not seen. When they say, hey, it's true. Then you are now seeing what they have seen long ago. He will not go. He's just tipping you in a direction. Somebody will come to you. Have you seen these adverts? There's a job available. Really? Why won't he apply? Because not for him, it's for you. When you are alone. No. When you are alone, it is not good. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. Some people are happy to be alone. It's a mistake. We are melancholic. So we are. No. Melancholic behavior is not the same as being alone. You can enjoy your own presence. You can be happy alone. Yes. But doesn't mean that you cut off people. And I don't need people. I can mind you on my own. No. You need people. I said you are alone. Tell your neighbor. Reasons why people are alone. Reasons. There are many reasons. I'll give you just three, Malik. Just three reasons why people are alone. I've made it clear that alone is bad. Is it clear now? Is it clear? Or you're not sure still? You are sure now. Rose, you are sure that it's bad to be alone? Yes, you are sure. Okay. Let me tell you why some people are alone. Three reasons. Reason number one, why people are alone. Pride. Pride. You are proud. I don't need anybody. I can do it by myself. That's Lucifer. That's Lucifer. Lucifer was with Jesus and God in heaven and Michael and all the angels. Then he said, I'm going by myself. That's pride. Amen. When they are coming to help you, it's okay, I can do it by myself. It's pride. I don't want to owe anybody any favor. It's pride. I want to do it by myself so that I can say I did it. I'm a self-made man. Who born you? You're a self-made man. And you say, listen, let me give you a key. Okay, I'll give you a key. Now, listen, that there will be exceptions to the rule I'm giving you. Okay, there'll be exceptions to the rule I'm giving you. But it's a rule that is true. Most people, when you come to a place where there are people seated, they go and sit by themselves. They often go and sit by themselves. People who don't like anybody around them, who they don't know, and they want to be alone, there's something. As it is a smack of pride, of I want to be alone. Yeah, it is something about pride that I don't. How do you make a friend? Sit by a stranger. Look,
from today, tell somebody in this church, don't come and sit alone again. No, warn your neighbor from today. In this church, if you are alone, we'll mark you as something. Hallelujah. If you are alone, we'll mark you as something. Amen. Number two, why people are alone? Ignorance. They didn't know, you see, this is the ignorance. They didn't know how much better they would do if they had help. Sometimes, say, oh, if you help me, I know it's better. It's true. But they didn't know how much better. Deuteronomy 32, 30, I believe. One can chase 1,000 and two can chase not 2,000, but 10,000. 10,000. You will do much, much better. Not just better. You will do much, much better if you had help. Amen. I said you'll do what? Much, much better. Much, much better. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You'll do what? Much, much better if you had help. But you have not thought about it. You didn't know. Thought that, oh, I'm just alone by myself. No. Read it. What does it say? How should one chase 1,000 and then what? Two put 10,000. That means two are 10 times what one person will do. I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear a loud amen. Tell anybody from today, don't be alone. And the third one is even more dangerous. Insecurity. You don't trust anybody. Insecurity. I don't trust people. You know, somebody once hurts me. You know, one day I was sitting by somebody and I was chatting with her. And I just said, oh, you know, I'm single. Before I hear, hey, he's single. No. Tell somebody, I am not afraid of you. Oh, tell somebody, I'm not afraid of you. I'm nobody. I want you to know that if you come to me, say, Pastor, I've sinned. Oh, really? What is it? Pastor, it's a very bad sin. Hey, what is it? Pastor, it's a major sin. Can I become afraid? Then what is it? Because somebody did it to me. One day, a young man came to me. He said, Pastor, I've done something. He was a young boy. I said, what is it? He said, Pastor, it's not good. I said, what is it? He said, me and a certain girl. Then I become afraid. I said, hey, what have you done? He said, Pastor, she came to my room. Then I was like, oh no. Oh no. I said, what? So what happened? He said, Pastor, I touched your bottom. Oh, is that all? But I couldn't say, is that all? In case you go and try to touch again. But you see, what trouble do you have that is so peculiar to you? Tell somebody, we try to protect ourselves too much. That's why I don't want to give anybody a chance to have anything over me. Listen, you can never be friends with somebody if you don't open up. You can be an acquaintance. I know your name, you know my name. That's not a friend, that's an acquaintance. You know my name, I know your name. You can never be friends with anybody if you don't open up your life and risk something. They say no pain, no gain. High risk, high returns. The more you risk telling your private things, the more you become close friends. But as I'm here, you don't know my life. You know my name. What Kasiwa read? You think that's my life? You think what she read is my life? No, you don't know me. And those who want to know me, they will know my weaknesses and my failings. They'll know the times I didn't do well. They'll know the times when they could correct me or when they saw where I went wrong. That's when you are proper friends.
Somebody can tell you you didn't try.
That's when you're a good friend.
But you want to hear praises all the time. Well done, well done, well done, well done. That's insecurity. Because don't tell me I didn't do well. I don't want to tell you my failure. Ask your neighbor. You are a fornicator and so what? Tell your neighbor you are a fornicator and so what? I mean, that is that. No, please ask your, tell them. You are fornicating. How many times have you fornicated? That is a problem. He said, well, I touched your bottle. I was expecting a big problem. Asthma is just this. Not even breast. Not even breast. Hallelujah. Are you here? This is why many don't do well. You are alone. You have no helper. Tell somebody in church, you have a helper. You will find a helper in church. Tell somebody. Oh yes. Oh yes. I mean, maybe you don't trust people or something. It's possible. But not here. Not here. Shakataya. Not here. Tell somebody, look, I don't want a promise for you. You must make your own promise. But tell neighbor, you can trust me. I mean, no, don't say I said. Because I'm saying you can trust me. No. You must tell your neighbor, you must trust me. Yeah. Do you know why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So, be able to look at your neighbor and tell the neighbor, I love you. Hold the neighbor's chin and turn that chin to face you. Say, I don't want to talk. I'm not talking to the air. I'm not speaking like a speech. It's not a speech. It's not a speech. It's not a speech I'm making. No. You won't do it. Turn to your neighbor and say my neighbor. You say, I love you. You can't say it because you are thinking, your mind is not correct. Your head is upside down. Why? No, stop. Listen, we are closing. You are wasting my time. Why can't why can't a man go to a young lady and tell her I love you? Because you are thinking something bad. Your bad head, your bad thoughts, that it means that when I get you, I'll blow you power. That's what you are thinking. True or not true? Yeah, I say I love you. Say I'm waiting for a chance. If I get a chance, then like you see, I will do 3 rounds. I will do you something. Then yeah, you are thinking bad thoughts. But that is no. That is how the world is. No, in the world, if a man says I love you, be careful. Be careful. That one is true. If you are in town, they see a man at the petrol station. He says, "Hey, young lady, I love you." Say, "Kai, I don't like you. Go away." That's the answer to the man at the trottoir station. A taxi driver, Uber driver says, "Young lady, I love you. A nice spot." Say, "Mr. Man, mind your own business. Look away from me." Because his motives are not good. But in the house of God. You see, and sometimes too, when they say, "Tell your brother I love you," you say, "Hey, why? Am I gay?" Your head is upside down. You are not correct. What has gay got to do with I love my brother? What has it? You don't have brothers. I'm there. Thank you. I'm showing you how the world has corrupted our minds. That is why you must be spiritual, or you will not do well. If you're not spiritual, you can't love a brother or a sister. You can't. You can't. You'll be too intimidated. You'll be too afraid of what will they say? What will they think? When they say, "I love Rosemary," hey, these days, pastors are, well, what are you thinking? You're not spiritual. And that is why sometimes we keep to ourselves. Hallelujah. We keep to ourselves and we just stay alone. But it's ending today. It's ending today. Hallelujah. Put your hand together. There's more, but I think we'll end here for this morning. Amen. We'll continue next week. Why we're not doing well? We will do well. I said we will do well. Nobody here will die wasted. Nobody. No. You see, I was following a certain family.
and a certain family, three brothers. They're all brothers. All three became billionaires. Yeah, in their own right. Not that they found the money and they shared it. They all work and became billionaires. And I came to the mind that it is possible. We have agreed. What Jesus said is true. The poor you always have. That's true. But it doesn't mean it's us. There will be poor, yes, but not you. There will be somebody who will die early. Yes, it's true, but not you. Somebody will divorce. Yes, it's true, but not you. Not you. Somebody will fail. It's true. There are always a few who fail, but not you. And so, some will not do well. It's true, but not you. Some will do well. Yes, it will be you. I didn't hear a nice amen. Somebody will marry happily. That will be your story. Somebody will get a good job. That will be your story. Somebody will build houses. Not one house. You will build houses. That will be your story. Somebody, you will travel. I mean, your passports, it will be full. Then you get another one. And it will be full. Not that you got one when you were born. Up to today, only one stamp when you went to Lume. You got one passport and then you didn't travel. Up to today, no stamp inside. It has expired. 10 years, no travel. It has expired. Now get another one. No. May your dream, Shateri Bakasa, may your dream, whatever dream, lift your hand this morning, whatever dream, whatever desire you have in your heart, may it come to pass. Whatever it is that you are looking for, wherever it is, I want to go to America, I want to travel. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says don't travel. There is a place, but it's not a general, it's for a specific reason. But we have been limited by visa and other things from traveling, such that now is a major problem to travel. No, we overcome it. We cancel that limitation. We overturn that restriction that keeps us from doing well. You worry about marriage. Oh, about marriage. You have a beautiful husband. You have a nice married life. You will see your children following you to church. That will be your testimony. It can't be that you come from a family where no one has married, where they're all born and bring their children home again. They go out and then they come back with a child of some Mr. Osei, then one child for Mr. Buachi, then one child for Mr. Ajiman, then one child, one woman, you have different children, all that. No. It's ending with you. It is ending with you. That level of thing will never enter. You are the one to be a shining star among your whole family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And it doesn't matter where you are starting from. No, it's not a problem at all. It's not a problem at all. You will do well. I said you will do well. You will do well. Father, thank you that you are working on our behalf. Lord, thank you that it's not by might or by power, because we don't have the might and we don't have the power. So if it were by might and power, we are out. We are left out. But it's by your spirit. It's by your spirit that we will push forward in life. It's by your spirit that we will take new territory and occupy new ground and go forward in life. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, this morning, thank you. Thank you that you are showing us how to live a life aright. Thank you for helping us. Helping us to do the right thing, showing us how to go forward in this life. This morning, Lord, I pray for everyone here in this house. Let failure, that word failure,
never be heard or mentioned in this house in the name of Jesus. Not that word disaster, not that word fiasco, no, but we'll see progress, we'll see advancement, and we'll see increase. Lord, thank you for heart's desires come to pass. Heart's desires, heart's desires. Whatever it is you desire in your heart, let it come to pass. Let it come to pass. A good marriage, a good job, travel, children, international job, earning dollars, whatever it is, whatever it is. Lift your hand this morning. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Begin to thank God. Whatever it is you want, He will answer you. He will answer you. You want to travel, He will answer you. You want to fly in an aeroplane, He will answer you. You want to go abroad, He will answer you. You want to marry, He will answer you. You want to get a green card, He will answer. Whatever it is, whatever it is. You think your dream is dead because you have dreamt for a long time and it doesn't seem to be coming. You have been hoping, but as time goes, it seems more and more impossible. I came this morning to tell you, it's not impossible for God. It's not impossible for God. And your dream, you will see it. I said you will see it. Let today. There's somebody here. I have a strong feeling. There's somebody here. I think it's a man. Not that it's we are half. Let today be the last day you think your dream is dead. Even though Abraham waited 25 years, when he was told he was 75 years old, it seemed hard. As the years go by, it seems harder and harder for the dream to come to pass. Until at the time when even Sarah said, your body is dead, no more erection or whatever it is, your body is dead. And she too, it was past the ways of women. But at that deadened stage, where all reason and all logic said is useless. God said it is true. But over the years, you have seen that it hasn't happened 20 years. And you are still hoping. Stop hoping. Just accept that this is how you are. But Abraham never, never, hoping against hope, never gave up. Never gave up. And he just kept holding on to God. Finally, when it was almost virtually impossible, it came to pass. I'm talking to somebody this morning that never, after today, never say my dream is dead. My dream is dead. Never say it's too late. Nobody will marry me. Nobody is looking at me. Never let those words have a place in your mind. But today I'm just here to tell you that we are heading upwards. We are heading to your promised land, your land where your milk and your honey will flow, your land where you wash your feet with butter, your land where the rocks will give you oil, your land where you are protected from every giant in the land, the promised land. Lift your hand this morning. Father, it shall be well with me. It shall be well with me. No evil will befall me. No danger will overtake me. No backward step, no failure or disaster. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. Baki kataya. I'm going forward. Begin to speak to yourself. Sometimes you are the one who needs to be convinced that I'm going forward. I'm taking new territory. I'm moving ahead in this life. I'm not going backwards again. I'm going to see my heart's desire. I will do well. I will do well. I will do well. I will do well. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father, this morning we release an anointing into this house. An anointing for prosperity. Bible says the anointing flows down from the head to the beard, those who are close, and down, down, down to the hem of the garments, even those who are far. Let the anointing of this house flow down into every member of this house. Let every man, woman, child, be established as we are established. Let there be happy marriages as we have happy marriages. Let there be no financial need as we have no financial need. Let there be cars and houses as there are cars and houses. Let there be international travel as there is international travel. I pray, Lord, for establishments and prosperity and promotion, that we shall do well. Lord, bless everyone here this morning. Every student, every worker, every parent, every child. Bless everyone here this morning. Let there be a turning around in our circumstances. Whatever is broken and gone, bring it back again. Whatever is spoiled, repair it. Whatever is going away, turn it around and bring it back top speed. And Lord, bless us. Bless us in all that we do. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said amen.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.